Well, here we go. It is the Green Zone Blitz, the podcast. Jamie and I and Britton Gray with you a little bit later than we usually go because I was in Mexico for just over a week. I am back in Saskatchewan. Of course, missed game day last week, but I heard Britton, Daryl, and Belton absolutely crushed it with some tornado warnings interrupting the pregame show. A lively post-game show after that loss or that win over the Ottawa Red Blacks, because if it would have been a loss to the Ottawa Red Blacks, it would probably have been a lot more lively post-game show for the Riders.
Yeah,
Britton?
It would have been something if they would have ended up losing that game. It was interesting. Was kind of looking forward to the chaos that might have ensued, but now that first time dealing with it, with all the great callers, got a bunch of callers in, I'm glad they won because it's nice to ease into it, being in that chair with all the buttons, Jamie.
Of course, we were down in Mexico for a wedding, so that was the rehearsal dinner night was when the Riders were taking on Ottawa. And, of course, I'm taking a little quick peek. I saw 10-0 Ottawa early, Britton. And I was honestly like, uh-oh, this is going to be an interesting show. Going on, and the Riders came back. Matthew Sexton with the big kick or punt return touchdown. Good thing the Ottawa Red Blacks punter with the most passive attempt for attack. That could have been easily a loss. Like if they're taking on Calgary, they lose. If they're taking on Edmonton, they lose. Winnipeg. That was not a pretty performance by the Rough Riders. Despite it being a win, and I know they don't ask how, they just ask how many. But when you're taking on the worst team in the Canadian Football League, they played down to their competition in that one last week.
Yeah, it started off on the wrong foot for the Riders. Even one of the earliest plays, Trevor Harris has an interception. Just go the way of the Red Blacks way. AJ Allen comes up with it, of course, the former Rider. And then the Riders did not look like they were firing on much of anything. Keyshawn Johnson, heck of a game. Absolutely, he was able to be the only consistent part of the Riders' offense. Keen Schaefer-Baker had some drops. Sam Emlis wasn't his usual self. Now, those two were injured earlier in the week. They did have to battle it out, which I think played a role in that. But, I mean, I guess it's good news that even though you don't play good football, you still find a way to win, put some hay in the barn early this season in case you get later in the year. Who knows what injuries might be like? Who knows who's going to be the hot team later in the year? Get these wins early. So it's good in that regard, but this team does not want a repeat performance like that against anyone but the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Yeah, and overall, when you look at Keyshawn Johnson, the bright spot on offense, but Matthew Sexton, we already mentioned him. He gets a punt return touchdown, added that spark. We saw it in training camp, and it's good to see. Those are the type of performances you need to win championships. Is the next man up is going to perform, and we've already seen it a bit this season across the board for the Rough Riders. Conley at running back hasn't been outstanding, but he's been solid in replacing AJ Ouellette, though AJ will be back this week. But Matthew Sexton coming in with a good performance. That defensive secondary has been banged up with a bunch of injuries that we have seen, like Lacombo playing halfback in that game wasn't a big issue for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, though. No, he's nicked up again this week to get ready for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. But Matthew Sexton, that guy, we saw him in training camp and it was like, man, how do they keep him off the field? One of those players, you go, man, how do they keep him off the field? They had to for ratio reasons early, but when he got his opportunity, he definitely shone for the Riders in Ottawa.
Yeah, and he'll get a chance to continue to do that because James Letcher is on the 6-game injured list. We don't know when we'll see him again. And Matthew Sexton, an opportunity, just talking to him, that he's a guy who's bounced around a lot. He's 5 NFL teams, the XFL, the UFL. He's been trying to stick somewhere, right? And then even Ottawa cut him after rookie camp. So it was a little, he admitted he didn't really say it, but he admitted it felt good to do that against Ottawa because of getting cut by them, obviously. But a guy who's looking forward to showing what he can do on the pro stage, showing what he can do in a pro league, like what you saw about in the pregame show. I said until Matthew Sexton can kind of show me he can take it to the house, I'm not going to say again. Well, didn't take long to show me and kind of be like, okay, this guy has the talent as a returner to be able to do that. And now you feel really good about the return game of the Riders, even though they're missing Lecher.
Yeah, but when Lecher was in, like there was a bunch of like, man, he was one tackle away, it felt like that Riders blocking scheme, especially on punts, has been pretty darn good setting things up for James Lecher. Good to see that entire group get, the payoff there for the Riders in Ottawa. They dig in now. They're at 3-1. They kind of rebound a little bit of after the Toronto loss, but I don't know. The last two games, there's more questions popping up. Going, okay, where are they in the grand scheme of things? Because if they play Edmonton, I don't know if I'm picking the Riders. If they play Calgary again, I'm not sure. Montreal, probably definitely not. The way the Riders have played the last 2 weeks, that they need more consistency, more, and it's hard to complain about a 3-1 team, but when you have that type of performance against Ottawa on the road or not, after losing to the Toronto Argonauts, you have to start going, okay, where do the Riders really shuffle out in the power rankings, so to speak?
Yeah, they have to really go out and prove it. Those first 2 weeks, or first 2 games, sorry, they looked really good. It looked like they weren't missing a beat, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, we all thought that outside of the kick return touchdown that let Calgary back in it, they were going to completely demolish the Stampeders, right? And so it's been weird. It's a weird little lull this team is going through. Maybe some guys are more nicked up than we think ahead of this second bye week. As mentioned, the receiver room was pretty banged up at times, but just need to figure it out. I mean, Trevor Harris has said he's not never going to apologize for a win. He knows the team they are right now is not going to be the team that they're going to be week 19, week 20, week 21. It's about eventually reaching that point. So, yes, they're making mistakes. This team is not overly concerned because, I mean, even last year, they ended in a Grey Cup, and there were games last year that were like, well, they should have won by more. It didn't look all that great. They find ways to win, and that's part of championship DNA.
Absolutely. It is, when crunch time matters, go win a football game. And that's exactly what the Riders did. When it mattered, they climbed out of a 10-0 deficit, picked away, made big plays when they needed to. And the defense kind of stood up. They only allowed 12 points after that first quarter when it was 10-0. And of course, it was a short field for those first two drives, really, for the Ottawa Redblacks that ended with a field goal and a touchdown for Ottawa. So you flip the page and you turn it over, and here come the Hamilton Tiger Cats into town. And we know it's Jake Dolagala that will be starting at quarterback, not Bo Levi Mitchell, after that terrible leg injury last week. So yes, a lot of people, as you should, be picking their Saskatchewan Roughriders at home Sunday against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. But, don't count your chickens, because who knows, when these quarterbacks get an opportunity and finally get their chance after, year two or three. Jake Dolagala, with Scott Milanovich, has done this with quarterbacks before, all of a sudden found something that was able to spark them. And there's talent there in Hamilton. They still got Kenny Lawler. They still got Keandre Smith. They got some talent to throw, and I think a pretty talented defense too, for the Tiger Cats.
I mean, Jamie, you've covered this team a long time. You've seen them play even longer. Backup quarterbacks have some have made careers off playing the Riders. Now, not necessarily this group with Corey Mason them, though Davis Alexander came in and started making his career against the Riders, right? But yeah, Jake Dolagala, interesting prospect. I admit it, when everyone assumed it was going to be Trey Ford, I wasn't in that camp. I kind of thought it would be Jake Dolagala next man up, because when I think of Scott Milanovich, I think of what he kind of wants from his quarterback. Jake Dolagala fits that mold better than what Trey Ford can do. Trey Ford is great at improvising. He's a dynamic rusher. Scott Milanovich likes a pocket passer. And that's what Bo Levi Mitchell is. Jake Dolagala, I think I've said, people have asked me, well, what's the game plan for Jake Dolagala? It's the same you would for Bo Levi Mitchell. They're very similar quarterbacks. They want to push the ball down the field. They both have a big arm. It's just that Bo has seen it all. He has all the answers to a defense, and Jake doesn't quite have that. So a defense might be able to trick him instead of a, you're not going to trick Bo, but you can maybe trick Jake Dolagala. But boy, I just think of him in Saskatchewan. He flashed at times in Saskatchewan. There were points where many people thought he could be the one to develop into the quarterback behind Trevor Harris and eventually take over. I think that counts for something. He's obviously bounced around, hasn't found a spot, but I mean, you've mentioned it, Scott Milanovich. He's a guy who can make the best of his quarterbacks, and this might be an interesting one.
Yeah, he's got a huge arm. We all saw it in training camp. His first training camp was Saskatchewan when he was, we were sitting around. I think that was Drew Remenda was with us watching, and it was just like, wow, he's slinging it. And he had that arm power. Now, does he have it between the ears, so to speak, to be a great quarterback in the league? That, and when I say between the ears, I mean just being able to recognize, okay, where is the 12th guy? Where are they dropping? Where is the blitz coming from? Where's my hot route? Where do I need to go with the football and be safe with it and be able to process those things quickly, as you see with Trevor Harris and Bo Levi Mitchell and Vernon Adams and Nathan Rourke. The greats do it. Now it's opportunity for Jake Dolagala to do it against a still a pretty solid Rough Rider defense. I'm still looking for a little bit more from this Riders defense, but I'm so curious though, Britton, how much do they miss Roland Milligan Jr.? I think that loss, no matter who's in there, does impact this Rough Riders secondary, does impact that Rough Riders defense on how much they are able to do and how much there are openings for the opposition to pick apart without, Milligan's Island out there shutting things down, making plays, stopping the run. He can come up and do a lot. I just think it is a huge drop off from Roland Milligan to anybody to fill in the shoes of the most outstanding defensive player from 2 years ago.
I think they are missing him a little bit because, as you mentioned, you can't really replace him. I think that's allowed some teams to maybe take advantage and get those second and longs that the Riders forced them into, be able to convert and extend drives. Because, I mean, when you have Marcus Sales and Roland Milligan on one side of the field, you tend to maybe look the other way, right? Even though the Riders, DeMarcus Fields and Tavon Campbell, or I guess wherever
He did.
Roland's around, right? I can't remember exactly where he lines up. I'd look back on that, but he is dynamic. He moves around. He can stop a opposing offense just pretty much by himself, shut down a receiver. They are missing that. This team also needs to start getting a little bit more pressure and forcing quarterbacks and not allowing them to be able to convert. Chad Kelly, boy, when we think back to that Toronto game, it was right before halftime. The Riders could have stopped them, could have went into the half with a lead. Instead, Chad Kelly, boom, boom, two big plays against that secondary, and they're in the end zone. And that cannot happen. I don't think that does happen with a guy like Roland Milligan out there, just from the communication he has.
And overall, when you look at, the Rough Riders' defensive plays, when they stack up, they have been able to get to the quarterback a little bit, especially lately. They are tied for second in the league in quarterback sacks with eight right now, in the CFL. This is a team that still is able to stop the run for the most part, right? Like, the Rough Riders, right now are in the middle of the pack in stopping the run for that Riders defense, near the top of the table when you talk about stopping the pass. So it'll be interesting to see. But of course, when it comes to Josh Bell, maybe that's a little bit of the trickery he's doing as a defensive backs coach in the backfield. I'm looking at, this team improving, as you said, step by step. They're 3-1. Can they finish 4-2 in the first third of the season? Maybe even 5-1 in the first third of the season. Then improve as they continue to grow. And get healthy. AJ Olette should be back this week. And there's another guy. How much are they missing Roland Milligan on defense? How much have they missed offensively AJ Olette? Because he not only just running the football, catching the football, but in pass protection. That is a big deal. And there are times where you go, okay, is the running back Conley in the right spot in pass pro? AJ Olette's been in this system for the last couple of years. He knows exactly where he's supposed to be, who's got what. And I think AJ Olette's re-addition is going to be huge this week against Hamilton.
I completely agree. It just what he brings, not only as a rusher, but just as you mentioned, a pass blocker. He probably is the best pass blocking running back in the entire CFL. That's why this team loves him. That's why Trevor Harris loves him as well. He keeps him upright a lot with the way he's able to pick up blitzes and stuff. I'm excited to see what AJ Olette brings this week. I expect him to bring the energy because it felt like an injury that if it was playoffs, he probably could have played through, but they're being it smart with him. Keep him healthy. They want him in October, November. Make sure he gets there as healthy as possible. And just going back to the defense, one of the more surprising things has been the lack of turnovers. This Corey Mace's defenses get after the football. It just hasn't occurred yet. And I think it's kind of funny that right now Josh Woods has bragging rights all over the entire defensive backfield because no defensive back has an interception yet. Josh Woods has the only interception this season for the Riders defense.
The Rough Riders in the turnovers created category, they got two. They've recovered one fumble. That was on special teams, though, I think,
That
on
was
Nick
Nick Weeb.
Wiebe, and the interception. That's it. That's not good enough for what Corey Mace wants when you think of, the playmaking that we've seen in the past from the Rough Riders defense, right? It's just hasn't been there yet for the Riders. But where the Riders do make hay is preventing a lot of second down conversion, because the Rough Riders allow second down conversions 45% of the time, which is tops in the Canadian Football League. And second right now is the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And that's why I look at this Hamilton Tiger Cats team coming in. Guess what? They allow the fewest amount of points and the fewest amount of yards so far this season in the Canadian Football League. As much as people have been talking about Bo Levi Mitchell and, 300 yard performances and, a Hamilton offense that looks pretty darn good with 14 offensive touchdowns, that defensive Hamilton is pretty darn good. And they are going to need that to kind of keep their head above water here with Jake Dolagala at quarterback.
Yeah, they're going to need to step up because the Riders offense, it's I thought they were at their complete absolute floor last weekend with against Ottawa, which is the fact that no one was catching anything. Trevor Harris was hovering around 50% completion. We're used to him being in the 80s. And the fact that the floor of the Riders was still able to put up 27 points against a professional defense, that's pretty good for a floor of your offense if you're putting up near 30 and almost nothing is going right except for one of your big stars, right? And so I expect this, the Hamilton defense will need to step up. I mean, but when you look at who they've played, it's kind of they played Winnipeg already twice. In Winnipeg, I'm not exactly sure what to expect of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, even with Zach Calaro. So this is a big test for that defense right now and what the Riders are going to bring ahead of them this week.
Yeah, the game last week, Hamilton Winnipeg was an absolute slog. 14-13 quarterback injuries. Eesh. That was the worst, maybe the worst game of the year. I know there's been some blowouts, but that was a tough one in the Canadian Football League. So, Riders have the Hamilton Tiger Cats. AJ Olette will be back in the lineup for the Riders. Overall, injury-wise, coming out of Ottawa, things look okay. Matthew Sexton was a little bit nicked up, but He looks like he's good to go. Tavon Campbell missed a practice, but that was personal reason. He should be good to go. So overall, the only this Thomas Bertrand-Hudon looks like a concern again. That's a head injury, I do believe, for Thomas Bertrand-Hudon. He's worn the Guardian helmet, so we know he's had some concussion issues. Hoping he turns that around quick. So we'll see how those spots kind of fill up with Fitz Benoit Marion. Ryder Varga practicing as well. Oh, and you mentioned Roland Milligan. We should mention Roland Milligan has started his progress to get back in the lineup very slowly, but it has started on the field this week with a helmet in hand.
He is out there. He's mostly taking mental reps, but he is out there with a helmet. I mean, they had one of their padded practices this week, and he did put the pads on, but did, like I said, he wasn't doing too much, but he did have the pads on. So slowly, because on the 6-game injured list, this team has some decisions to make of who they maybe want to bring off early. Is it Roland? You're running low on Canadian depth right now. Do you have to bring on a Benoit Marion or Ryder Varga off that early? Because this team also did lose Ali Saad for the foreseeable future. He got put on the 6-game when he got hurt in practice, and that's never a good sign. So some interesting decisions when it comes to how the Riders are working that 6-game injured list.
That's a little look-see at the Riders in Hamilton. We'll get to our predictions here on the Blitz podcast in a little bit. But around the CFL, the biggest story around the CFL is QB injuries. We knew it was inevitable. All the quarterbacks weren't going to make it through the season 100% healthy. But two guys go down in the same game. Bo Levi Mitchell, broken leg against Winnipeg, and Zach Kolaros now with a neck injury. Both will miss time. Zach's out this week. Drew Brown starts on Friday Night Football. Bo is out long term. Scott Milanovich says if it's not season ending, it'll be pushing it near the end of the season. But that was a significant leg injury for Bo Levi Mitchell, and it sucks because offenses have been humming at the start of this season. We've gone through the stats. It is fun to watch, but as these backup quarterbacks come in, you're probably going to see a drop. And here we go with Jake Doligal and Drew Brown now at the helm for the Tiger Cats and the Bombers.
Yeah, I'm hoping we do see Bo Levi Mitchell. If not back this year, hopefully he does come back next year. He feels like the type of competitor who's not going to let that be his last snap. And plus, he's been so fun to watch. He's been slinging the football really well recently. Hopefully we get to see more of him and his career continue next season. But yeah, backup quarterbacks. We've mentioned already Jake Doligal, a very interesting prospect. Interesting to see what he does under Scott Milanovich. I think when Jake Doligal was talking to media, this is the first time he's had an offensive coordinator 2 years in a row. He dealt with a lot of changes during those years in Saskatchewan as the Riders were kind of figuring out their coaching staff, figuring out where they were going to go. So maybe that helps him. In terms of Drew Brown, I personally don't understand how everyone just thinks Drew Brown's going to come in and light up the world as the Winnipeg Blue Bombers starting quarterback. He got hurt last year, wasn't overly impressive in Ottawa. He looked good at times, but didn't put that franchise on his shoulders and take them to the promised land by any means, right? I'm not sure what to really think about what we're going to get from Drew Brown.
Because we saw a little bit of Drew Brown in Winnipeg, and it looked good. That's why Ottawa went out and got him. They thought, and a lot of people did, that he might be the next franchise guy. But 2 years in and out of the lineup and struggling can hurt a guy's confidence, and we'll see where it goes for Winnipeg. I have a question on Hamilton, though. Do you think we see Trey Ford?
Yes, because they do just run packages with them. Even with Bo Levi Mitchell, they did have kind of Trey Ford packages. Do I think we see him outside of that? No. I don't. Scott Milanovich said they brought Trey Ford in to learn for a year. That's what he's going to do, and next year make a push for a starting job. But they will still have those packages in there because if you have it's much like the Riders have a Tommy Stevens package. They ran it against the Ottawa Redblacks.
Yeah, that was an interesting finish. The way they ran that was very interesting. A little bit, yeah.
So you will see Trey Ford. I just don't think it's going to be as quarterback number one type stuff.
I'll be honest, I don't get that. I don't get it. The Trey
Like,
Ford, he's going to learn for a year stuff. He's been in this league for 3 years. Like, what? It's a learning year for Trey Ford? That sounds like a coach who doesn't believe Trey Ford has the it factor at quarterback, other than he's really athletic and he can run around and extend plays. But once that goes away, we've seen it. He's not accurate enough with the football and all those things. There's a reason Jake Dolagala is starting and not Trey Ford. It's not because Trey Ford's in a learning year. It's because Jake Dolagala has retained that offense and makes the proper decisions that Scott Milanovich wants. Because remember, at the start of Bo Levi Mitchell and Scott Milanovich's relationship, it was not smooth sailing at all. They were yelling at each other. They were frustrated as all get out because Bo was trying to do Bo things from Calgary and not the way Scott Milanovich wants things done. So once they figured that out, it's been pretty smooth sailing and we'll see how it goes. But I don't get the whole needs a year to learn after being in this league as long as he has. Also around the CFL, BC won a game against the Edmonton Elks just in time for their bye week. From what we saw, are we more believers that BC is going to climb out near the bottom of the power rankings over the next month or so, Britton, and start to pull in Winnipeg and Calgary in the CFL West Division?
It's good first steps. There's some positive vibes you can start to build off of in BC at least. Looks like things are looking better, but you need to put it together 2 games in a row. And it feels like this bye week maybe is coming at a bad time because you finally get that first win. Oh, we'll see you guys later. See you in a week. We'll try and build off it. And so I need to see it a little bit more because you see it all the time in this league. Every now and then, a bad defense comes out and stops the one of the high-powered offenses in the league. Next week they're the bad defense again, right? So I need to see consistency from what the BC Lions have done, but good first steps in terms of what the Lions are doing.
Unfortunately, they have to go up against Edmonton again when they come off the bye week in Edmonton after beating them 36-24 before that first win. So I think Justin Rankin might have more than what the 15 or so yards he
I think
had,
it was 10.
10 yards. Although he did have like 100 yards receiving in that game, but that was Edmonton needing to throw their way back into the football game. So BC got the win last week. Also, you saw Calgary absolutely embarrass the Toronto Argonauts 58-36. Vernon Adams Jr. was ridiculous in that football. It's like every time he was on the field, he was throwing another touchdown pass, and Toronto just couldn't keep up at all. Both teams were on a short week getting ready, and it looked like a Toronto short week and back-to-back travel out west impacted the Argos. As Calgary was real good in that football game.
Yeah, you're not going to see too many performances like that, both offensively and defensively from the Argos. That you put up 36 points, you usually like your odds to win, but they weren't even in that game putting up 36 points. Blip on the radar per chance for the Argonauts because the defense did all right when you look at the rest of the year, but weird game. Credit to Vernon Adams Jr. It was exciting to watch him going after the single game record for touchdowns in a game. So we'll see. Build off it.
Yeah, we'll see. The other team we have to talk about is the Ottawa Redblacks. We talked about them against the Rough Riders. You know, any other team probably beats the Riders, but it's Ottawa. Then we've already got one game down in this week in the Canadian Football League, and that was 40-17. It was 16-14 after the third quarter, Britton. Edmonton was only up by 2 points, and the Ottawa Redblacks completely unravel in the fourth quarter. Justin Rankin with 3 touchdowns, over 100 yards rushing, 40 some yards receiving. The Justin Rankin show in the CFL continues, running the numbers. He is on pace for 2,905 yards from scrimmage which would beat the record by almost 500 yards held by Mike Pringle's 2,414. Somehow Mike Pringle did that twice. He has two seasons of exactly 2,414 yards, which is weird. But Justin Rankin is putting on a show. Ottawa couldn't stop him in the fourth quarter. They even threw in McLeod Bethel Thompson. Jake Maier throws four picks. I don't get it. I was surprised they went with Jake Maier. I thought it was going to be Drew Brown to start the season, see what he does. Drew Brown has the opportunity to embarrass Ryan Dinwiddie by beating Toronto with 2 weeks of practice with the Bombers after Ottawa drops to 0-5. I feel bad for Ottawa Redblacks fans. That franchise needs something to go right. And I don't know what it's going to be because it's disaster again for the Ottawa Redblacks.
I do not under were we wrong about Ryan Dinwiddie as a head coach? He's won Grey Cups with McLeod Bethel Thompson slash Chad Kelly and Nick Arbuckle, but it right now it just looks all in disarray. Every decision he's made has completely backfired, it feels like, for this organization. Just everything about it is going wrong. Thank goodness they put in McLeod Bethel Thompson. I don't know how you can roll Jake Maier out there again after the way he's performed this season, and just that offense has nothing to it. They're not using their play. Eugene Lewis is one of the best wide receivers in the entire CFL, and they seem allergic to throwing to him and allowing him to go up and make plays. Greg Bell has become non-existent, even though he was one of the best running backs in the CFL last season. It's terrible. And then that defense is suffering because the offense has been so terrible.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And it might be Drew Brown. If Drew Brown starts again next week, it's Winnipeg against Ottawa. Yeesh. That could look ugly if he goes in there, if Zach isn't healthy and beats Ottawa with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Again, it shows it's not about who wins free agency. It's never about who wins free agency. You go out and get Greg Bell. You go out and get CJ Revis and AJ Allen and Damari Houston and Habakkuk Baldonado
At
and
least Brett
it's
Lawther's been good for them. He's still perfect.
great. You don't have a quarterback. Nobody believes in Jake Maier in that room. Nobody. There's nobody playing for Jake Maier going, this is our guy. This looks like a team who went like all we all went. Really? You're going to go with Jake Maier over Drew Brown? Okay. And then the wins don't come. And then it's like, we're going to go with McLeod Bethel Thompson off the street now in Ottawa. Like, it's just a belief factor. And you need people, especially a quarterback that people believe in. And you see it with Edmonton. They believe in Cody Fajardo. Toronto clearly believes in Chad Kelly. Like, those guys, the Davis Alexander in Montreal, and Jake Dolagala has the opportunity to do it in Hamilton, and Drew Brown has the opportunity to do it in Winnipeg. You make the plays. Nobody believes in Jake Maier in Ottawa. It looks like they walk to the sidelines going, "What are we even doing here?" It's bad. I hate it. I hate watching teams this poor in the Canadian Football League because it's bad for the fan base. It's bad for engagement for Ottawa to again have a team this bad consistently now. At least Edmonton's the bright spot. At least Edmonton has some life. At least Edmonton has a guy they can believe in, and maybe less so Cody Fajardo, but more so Justin Rankin. That's a team that's starting to believe in itself. You're not seeing it from Ottawa. And I don't know how it can get any worse than it is, other than this going to 0-6 after a loss to Winnipeg. And then they have a bye week. And then they play Montreal. And then they come to Saskatchewan, and then they go to Winnipeg, and you start to go, man, how long could this losing streak last if they don't beat Winnipeg next week at home? Anyways, that's the Ottawa story. They are You got to go with McLeod Bethel Thompson now, though, right?
You can't put Jake Maier out there. If you put Jake Maier out there, you show that there's no consequences for poor play in that locker room.
And hey, Ryan Dinwiddie said there's going to be consequences. That's for sure. And real quick around the CFL, another note is Charleston Hughes is going into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. It was Corey Mace who gave him the call, of course, a former teammate, a former defensive line coach of Charleston Hughes. I thought, honestly, there might be a chance Charleston Hughes joined the Riders coaching staff, but that hasn't come to fruition. But a cool moment shared between some good friends and Corey Mace telling Charleston Hughes he's going to the Canadian Football Hall of Fame.
Corey Mace, when I asked him about being able to do that, he said it was very cool, something he had never been a part of, and a chance to do it for Charleston, kind of the relationship they had, a great experience for him, and congratulations to Charleston Hughes. I think it makes a lot of sense. It was quite funny because in the video he said it's about time, and I think this is only year two of his eligibility. It's not like he had to wait an overly long time to get in, but well deserved. I said when I was talking with Scott Roblin and Justin Blackwell on the Green Zone earlier this week, I said you cannot tell the story of the CFL in the 2010s without Charleston Hughes being a major part of that. The way he dominated along the defensive line, leading the league in sacks so often, coming to Saskatchewan, being dominant here as well, well deserved. Glad to see him get it. And now I can finally start saying, hey, guys I covered are now getting into the Hall of Fame.
There's a lot more coming, Britton. A lot more coming. All of a sudden, you're like, wait a second, I covered this guy's entire career, which is true. I was around in Edmonton when before Charleston Hughes was even there. I watched him as a rookie against the Edmonton Eskimos back at the time. But congratulations to Charleston Hughes. A great career indeed. All righty, let's get to our picks to wrap up the podcast.
We were
One game
terrible.
has one game has already been played, but yeah, last week
We
we
were
went 1-3.
terrible.
We picked Toronto, lost. Saskatchewan, we got right. Edmonton, lost. Hamilton, lost. So this week, I'm on record already. I picked Edmonton. So that's right. I'm 1-0. I think you were picking Ottawa though, weren't you,
I
Britton?
picked Edmonton. Don't try and say that I was being crazy. I believe your statement was, there's no way anyone's doing it. I was like, nope, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, nobody should have. 40-17. So we're 1-0 to start the week. As we go to Toronto, Drew Brown starts for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. This is tough for Toronto. Another Western road trip, their third straight, but they did have an extra day. Like last week, they had a short week. This week, they do have an extra day. That was Thursday to Friday, so a longer week to prepare for a Winnipeg Blue Bombers team who had a very short week, played Sunday to Friday, so they've only really had one day of practice with a new quarterback. I like Toronto in this one, Britton.
Yeah, I'm going Toronto as well. As I mentioned earlier, I don't see how what you've seen from Drew Brown over the past two seasons makes you believe he's going to come in and light the world on fire. Need to see it from him in Winnipeg again. And then I think Toronto personally is embarrassed by what happened to them against Calgary, and they're going to come out and say, "Hey, that's not who we are. We're a contender in this league."
Then we got Calgary and Montreal. The Stampeders riding high after that big performance in the Stampede Bowl, going to Montreal, coming off a bye week. I don't know why. Like the smart money's on Montreal, but I'm gonna go with the Stampeders. I think this defensive line is gonna start to roll here. Hutchings is healthy. Ormelade is coming back to health. I like that Stampeders defensive line. And I don't know, maybe I'm being blinded by last week's offensive performance by Vernon Adams Jr., but I like Dedrick Mills. I like everything about the Stampeders right now. I'm going Calgary wins one on the road in Montreal.
There's a lot of positive momentum behind the Stamps. As you mentioned, there's a lot of reasons to really like what they're doing right now. I just think Montreal coming off a bye week, they're at home. Jason Moss with that extra week of preparation for Calgary and that defense, I think they're going to have enough answers to get the win at home and improve to 4-1 because I think they view that also that Bo Levi Mitchell injury as a chance to really take a hold of the East Division now and really start to stake their claim.
Well, we finally did, after a few weeks of almost having the same picks, we finally disagree on something.
You go 1-3, you have to make some changes in your thinking process.
Yeah. And then Jake Dolagala coming back to Saskatchewan as the starting quarterback. Unfortunate injury to Bo Levi Mitchell against the Riders. 5 o'clock kickoff at Mosaic Stadium. It's the Hot Wheels Grand Prix game. The show and shine should be fun at the tailgate, actually, before the game. I kind of like this new theme. If you're a car guy or gal, for the Riders and the Tiger Cats, I got the Riders riding over Hamilton. I'm saying 32 to 20, for the Rough Riders against the Tiger Cats. I'll think inconsistent play from Jake Dolagala, a lot of offensive opportunities for the Rough Riders, and I think they get the job done at Mosaic to improve to 4-1.
Yeah, I think at Mosaic Stadium against Jake Dolagala, the Riders will end up winning. I think that they'll head into the bye week a little bit more feeling better about themselves, putting together a better performance. I have it a little bit higher scoring. I have 35 to 27. I think Hamilton scores a touchdown late to kind of keep it within that realm of 8 points.
All righty, there you have it. We're both going with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, both going with Toronto over Winnipeg. We both picked Edmonton, who already beat Ottawa this week. And a little split the difference on Calgary and Montreal. A reminder, the Green Zone pregame show on Sunday begins at 3 o'clock ahead of the kickoff on TSN with the Tiger Cats and the Rough Riders. As always, with the Blitz podcast, of course, you can like it, you can share it. You can subscribe, of course, on YouTube, wherever you find the Your Green Zone podcasts. We'll be back probably not next week because Britain's off. Or do you want to do one on your bye week, Britain?
We can find
What
some
do you think?
time. We can find some
You
time.
going to find some time?
I'm not going
Nice.
anywhere. Just doing it gives me a good reason to not have to do stuff around the house
There
for
you
an
go.
hour.
We'll figure some stuff out for week 7 for the Riders bye week. But we'll talk to you on the radio every weekday from 2 to 6. And of course, Green Zone Game Day this Sunday at 3 o'clock with the pregame show. Thanks for tuning into the Blitz podcast here with the Green Zone. I'm Jamie Nye with Britton Gray.